From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark, here again with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, talking with you about what's new in healthy living, sharing some down-to-earth advice and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, the number to call is 1-800-462-7413. And, of course, along with your calls, some topics to talk about, Zorba.
Yes, plant-based. What does it really mean when you buy something and it says on the label plant-based product? What are they really harking? Mm-hmm. What are they really advertising? Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to talk about calories on the labels when food, when you get food like 10 chips, 20 chips, how are they going to do differences in calculating the calories or what the bag is worth and what the Brits are doing that's even better.
Oh, okay. What's our recipe?
Kind of healthy. Buffalo chicken dip. Hey, it's the time of year when we want to have a dip. We want to sit down with friends and enjoy life.
That kind of healthy means I'll be listening carefully. To the phones we go now, Zorba, at 1-800-462-7413. 800-462-7413. Our first caller with us now, Zorba, a listener in Appleton, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
Well, I hear you talking a lot about the fact that vitamins aren't all that useful and are a poor excuse for actually eating a healthy diet. And I generally agree with you, but I have a problem. I have two sons, both with autism. We've tried pretty much everything. Let's see, we've tried occupational therapy. I've tried sneaking vegetables into their food. They can tell if I put one tiny cauliflower flour into mashed potatoes, a big huge bowl. And I did that once, and one of my sons has never since eaten mashed potatoes, and he's now in his 20s.
Never eaten mashed potatoes, and he's in his 20s.
Never again. They grew up, and I remember the occupational therapist saying after a year of trying, just give them vitamins.
Well, with every rule there is an exception, including the exception to the exception to the exception. And I think in the case, do they swallow pills? Will they take pills?
Yes. Oh, I worked on that hard. Yeah.
You worked on that hard. So I think in your case, in a case like this, yes. I think there's no doubt about it. This is a very good example where a multivitamin is really an important thing for them to have because obviously they're not going to have much in the way of plant-based products because they won't eat. So he still doesn't eat mashed potatoes. What's he like if you talk to him about this?
He just does not want the possibility of anything coming there. I have another son who one time saw a tiny piece of lettuce on a McDonald's hamburger that he ordered. He has not gone to McDonald's since.
Uh-huh. So both of your kids are anti-vegetable. Now, they like potatoes, though. Do they eat potatoes?
Yes. So, now they're both grown up and living on their own, so I'm not there to provide them stuff. I mean, they would eat a few things. I made them pumpkin muffins till they turned orange. There's just not.
And they will turn orange actually because you have carotene in your bloodstream. The answer is yes. In your case, no doubt about it.
Not wasting money.
By no means. I think a vitamin pill is really good. And if we look overall as how we've actually done things with vitamins in the U.S. And now, do they eat white bread?
One eats bread, the other won't eat bread.
Okay. So white bread is made with enriched flour. Enriched flour, back in the 30s, they put in a bunch of vitamins, vitamin B2, thiamine, riboflavin, and they put folic acid in fairly recently, about 10 years ago. And that, because people eat white bread and they eat a lot of flour products, it turned out that was a good way of delivering vitamins in our society. So if they're eating white bread, they're actually getting some vitamins. But I would do just what you're doing, and I would continue with those pills.
1-800-462-7413, our number, 1-800-462-7413. Now, Zorba, before our next call, what does plant-based actually mean?
Well, it's very interesting. How about plant-based broccoli? Plant-based cauliflower, plant-based margarine. I mean, margarine is basically vegetable oil that's been hydrogenated to make it solid and that. So a lot of things are now called plant-based, like plant-based protein, like soy.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting because you've got, you know, the Impossible Burger, I think that's the name of it, from Burger King, mm-hmm. which is a plant-based burger. So it's basically a vegetarian burger. It's something that's manufactured to make it taste like meat. I've had it, and it's an interesting taste. It doesn't taste like, you know, like a Whopper, but mm-hmm. it certainly has a very interesting taste to it. I found it tasty, as do a lot of other people. But plant-based has now been one of the things that we use to advertise. So the idea is that plant-based means it's healthier. It means it's better. It means it's a more wonderful thing. It has a lot of implications when they say plant-based, like plant-based potato chips. But, of course, potato chips are plant-based. So it's kind of become, if you will, a banner of goodness.
Yeah, well, plant-based hamburger, whatever.
Well, that would make a lot of sense.
Would certainly be better than beef hamburger.
That's right. But if you go to the grocery store, you want to find a lot of things that then say that say plant-based. And I want to give you a very interesting side for this. So I live outside of Madison, Wisconsin, in a small town called Oregon. And I went over to the next small town next door to Stoughton. Stoughton is another small town. And I was looking in the grocery store there, and there was a whole group of kosher foods, section of foods. It was kosher foods. Now, Stoughton does not have a Jewish population. Mm-hmm. So I got the manager and I said, you have a lot of kosher foods. Why do you have a lot of kosher foods? And he said, because people think if it says kosher, it answers to a higher level of goodness
yes.
and health. And this is a number of years ago. And I think it's the same thing with plant-based. So that, in other words, we're saying a lot of things are plant-based when, in fact, plant-based is just another way of saying vegetarian or vegan. Now, vegan, of course, is different than vegetarian. Vegetarian includes animal products such as milk, such as cheese, of course, such as yogurt, such as eggs. And vegan, of course, is totally 100% just based on the plant. But I think when you're looking at what plant-based means, some of it is just plant-based hype.
Let's see if we can help another caller, Nazorba, at 800-462-7413. A listener with us now in Hurley, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello. I got a question about, I don't know if you want to call them muscle cramps, muscle spasms, Charlie horses. Mm-hmm. But when I wake up in the morning, if I lay in bed and stretch, I'll give my calf a Charlie horse or a muscle spasm. Mm-hmm. And this happens throughout the day, not just in my legs, but if I say I'm loosening a bolt that's tight, my fingers will cramp up.
Mm-hmm. Loosening a bolt that's tight. For instance, in what? Like on a car, a tractor?
Yeah, something that you have to exert some kind of pressure in mm-hmm. order to, you know, get it off or put it on or whatever. And my two little fingers on my left hand will curl up and cramp.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
69.
So you've got back cramps, leg cramps, finger cramps.
And I know one of the things you're thinking about is hydration, and I drink a lot of water, so mm-hmm. I kind of rule that out myself. But I'm just curious if that is some kind of a warning sign for something else.
You know, it is a warning sign. You know what it's a warning sign of?
Old age.
That's right. Exactly. You hit it right on the head. You hit it right on the head. You got your medical degree from Zorba Pastor University. That's exactly it. It's a warning sign of old age. It's not a warning sign of imminent death. I mean, we're all going to die. But it is a function of aging. You know, when you're younger, you don't get as many cramps. And I've read a lot about it because I get questions about Charlie horses. And stretching exercises help Charlie horses. If you have it in bed, heavy bed covers, especially if you sleep on your back, will push on your feet, and sometimes they will cause a Charlie horse. Cramping in your fingers, part of that is really a part of what goes on with osteoarthritis. And so, yes, it is a symptom of something as we get older. And I've never seen anything which actually shows how to get rid of it. I mean, physical therapists will say, do your stretching exercises. Well, when you do it, you still tend to get cramps. I mean, I've tried it. I periodically get cramps. They come and go. Hydration makes a difference. There used to be a drug called Quinam, which is made of quinine. You can only get it in Canada now. You can't get it in the U.S. And that's because double-blind, placebo-controlled studies showed it was worthless. Even though some people still believe in it, it is the placebo effect. And so The answer is continue getting older and you'll continue with your cramps or die and the cramps will go away. I want to get to the bolt thing. So when you're pulling on a bolt, you find your fingers cramp a little bit. What do you do then?
Stop and wait for them to loosen up.
How long does that take?
It probably takes 2 minutes. And those two little fingers on my left hand will do a half curl, and they'll just kind of sit there for a couple minutes. Now it's to the point I'm getting used to it. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking, is this a warning sign of something that I don't know what's going on?
No, it's not. It's not a warning sign. Now, do you do that activity often, where you're pulling on things in a very heavy way? Is that a common thing?
Well, yeah. I'm busy.
What do you do for a living?
I mow lawns and I plow snow in the wintertime. I got 14 lawns and 14 driveways.
So with lawns, you're fixing the mower, doing stuff with the deck, putting the plow on that, pulling and twisting like that. So one of the things you might try, by the way, before you do it, is taking two Aleve. Anti-inflammatories might help you. And I would take it, hey, it's wintertime, I have to do stuff with the plow and the deck. Take a couple of Aleve once or twice a day and see if that makes a difference. Anti-inflammatories can make a difference, especially if you've got a 2-minute cramp. If you've got a 10-second cramp, it's not going to do much. But if it's a 2-minute cramp, getting rid of that inflammation will make a difference. So I would try that and see what happens.
Well, it's better than the alternative, I guess. So.
It's better than the alternative. That's exactly right. You've got it. You've got it.
Okay, well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, before you leave, I'm too old and lazy to cut my lawn and do the snow. Can I hire you?
You sure can. The clock starts when I leave the house. So.
let me think about that.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks a lot for that call.
Okay.
800-462-7413 is our number. 800-462-7413. Now, Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine. How can we help?
I have a question about my child's height, in particular my son, who is 10 and 52 inches tall, and if his height or growth can be helped along by his diet or nutrition. Uh-huh. Both of my children's diets are lacking in vegetables, to say the least, despite always trying to feed them vegetables. But I recently found some protein powder called Healthy Height, which says it's recommended by pediatricians, according to the packaging.
Yeah, pediatricians.
So I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Who are the pediatricians? You know, Fred and George, or Phyllis and Kathy. You know, recommended by pediatricians. Is it more than one? Pediatricians mean it could be two.
Recommended. It is plural.
Yeah, so we know it's at least two pediatricians recommended it. And they may actually be part of it, and they may have been paid to recommend it with that. I mean, these are often either soy-based or they're often whey-based products that have more protein in it. So are you and your husband or your significant other, the parents, are you tall people or are you short people?
My husband is 5'10 and I'm 5'5.
Okay. And then what does your family doctor or your pediatrician say about the height? Where do they fit on the height curve?
I don't know. I haven't taken him for his 10-year appointment yet.
Uh-huh. So, one of the things are sometimes there are kids that grow later. They don't grow earlier. You want to give them a variety of foods. It's important for them to get protein and calcium as they're growing, and it's important for them to get vegetables, because of vitamins. But it's quite interesting. I was like 5'7.5". I really had to stand up to get that half, by the way. Really a stand-up tall. And I was about the same height within an inch of my first cousin Mark. But his father was like 6'2". And so I stopped growing in like maybe my second year in high school, and we were the same height. And then he continued growing to the point where he was like 6'1". So he just grew longer than I did. So you have to look at the curve, and then you have to look at the parental height, and then you have to see what you actually have. But I would think it's more of a protein calcium issue than anything else. What vegetables will they eat? Will they eat any do they eat potatoes?
He'll eat broccoli.
He'll eat broccoli. Broccoli is great. How about
a lot of butter.
Broccoli is a lot of butter. But how's his weight?
I mean, his weight is normal. He's about 55 something pounds.
Yeah. So he's not overweight. He's not overweight for his height. So he can eat a lot of butter. If he's not overweight for his height, he can dip that broccoli in butter and do it. So, you know, you pick the vegetables, you know, choose your battles. Pick the vegetables that you feel that he can actually have. So back to this powder. What did it cost you?
$34.95.
And how big is the container? Small container, big container?
21 ounces.
So it's pretty expensive, pretty pricey stuff. I don't think it's going to do you any good. I'm sorry. I don't think it's going to do you any good. I mean, I think you should give it to them because you have the money. Or you should, if you got it through, did you buy it through Amazon?
I did.
So buy through Amazon, you can return it.
Yes.
I would not waste my money. I would not spend $34.95 on that few number of ounces to try to get my kids' height a little bit higher, even though it's recommended by two pediatricians, and they did it. But I would continue to feed them appropriate amounts. Do they drink milk?
Yes.
Dairy product? Dairy products have calcium in it. It has protein in it. I'd give them protein with that, and then and that's it. And then if you decide you actually want to do supplement, which I don't recommend, I would do something like Muscle Milk. I would do common supplements that you get at big box stores like Costco that are much cheaper. But I don't think there's anything in this two pediatrician recommended product that will – maybe it was three pediatrians that actually increase their height.
Can I ask you this? He drinks Carnation instant milk protein drinks.
Yeah. Oh, daily. I know someone else who used to drink Carnation instant breakfast protein drinks. Tom?
Yeah, right.
You drank it for years.
That was a while back.
You drank it for like 20 years. You get up in the morning, you have a glass of milk. Was it 2% or whole milk?
Whole.
It was whole milk with Carnation instant protein.
Yeah.
And I think that's just fine. As long as he's not overweight, as long as he's the right weight, do what you can to get that protein into your child.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Send it back.
I'm not overweight either.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Before we take a break now, Zorba, time to fire off another edition of Disagreeing with the Doc.
Disagreeing with the Doc. Disagreeing with the Doc. Oh, oh, oh.
However, Zorba, this one takes the premise of this segment and flips it on its head. So we've updated the jingle to reflect this special segment we're now calling Disagreeing with the Doc. Okay.
It's a subpart of the subpart of the subpart.
That's right. The following email came to us from Holly in Seymour, Wisconsin. Holly writes, "Dear Dr. Zorba, I love listening to your program, and today you addressed a listener email intimating that you were wrong to use the term handfuls, that the correct word is handsful."
That's right. I do remember that.
You are right.
I'm correct? Oh, my goodness.
One cannot,
time to celebrate.
One cannot add an S in the middle of a word to make it plural. So continue to give us all handfuls of excellent medical information.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Do you disagree with someone who disagreed with the good doc? Fight for Zorba's honor by posting on our Facebook page or by sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More calls to come, as well as our kind of healthy buffalo dip recipe.
Right.
All coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. With Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Our number again is 800-462-7413. But Zorba, before our next call, kinda healthy buffalo chicken dip.
Kinda healthy. In other words, not completely healthy.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to dips, I mean, do you like healthy dips or do you like delicious dips?
You know, I hear dip. When I hear dip, I think about what people used to call me when I was a kid.
You dip. That's right, you dip. Now, when my mother made a dip, the only dip she made was sour cream with Lipton's onion soup. Mm-hmm. Did your mother ever make that?
No.
That was like the biggest dip with Ruffles. Ruffles, rigid Ruffles have ridges. That was added with sour cream. That was the only dip that we ever had in our house. But now there are lots of different kinds of dips, and they're good for any kind of a party. And dips are, I know you'll be shocked, are generally not the healthiest thing in the world. And the stuff you dip in the dip, I mean, mm-hmm. you may dip some veggies in the dip, which is great. But often a dip just attracts chips, which are also not the healthiest thing in the
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a healthy dip, but not a totally healthy dip. Good any time of year, good for a baseball game, for a football game, for a party, good at a barbecue, good when you have friends over at the house, good after Christmas, after New Year's, good after Halloween. Should I go on?
We get it.
So start out with 4 ounces of low-fat cream cheese that you have softened.
4 ounces low-fat cream cheese.
A cup of plain non-fat Greek yogurt.
A cup of plain, non-fat Greek yogurt.
And now here, a half cup of buffalo wing sauce. A sauce like Frank's. Frank's is kind of my favorite. 2 thinly sliced green onions.
2 thinly sliced green onions.
A tablespoon of buttermilk powder. And you can find buttermilk powder in the baking section. And if you don't have that on your shelf, it's really good to have. Because when you need buttermilk, it's nice to have buttermilk powder so you can make it in the house. Because most people do not have buttermilk in their refrigerator.
Yeah.
1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder. And 1/4 teaspoon of onion powder.
1/4 little tea garlic powder, 1/4 little tea onion powder.
A cup of shredded part skim milk mozzarella cheese. You're going to divide that up.
A cup shredded part skim mozzarella cheese.
That's right, skim mozzarella cheese. 1/3 cup of crumbled blue cheese. You're going to divide that up.
1/3 cup crumbled blue cheese.
2 cups of cooked, shredded, boneless, skinless chicken breast. So that's the healthiest. Well, there's some other healthy things in here, but it's the boneless, skinless chicken breast. 2 cups of that. Carrots, celery, and crackers for the serving.
Carrots, celery, crackers.
The serving.
You know. Yeah, okay.
Are you ready?
I guess so.
Preheat the oven at 350 degrees. Spray an 8x8 chicken dish, baking dish. You can tell where my brain is at. Or a 9-inch cast iron skillet with cooking spray. Then in a large bowl, whisk together the softened cream cheese, yogurt, buffalo sauce, buttermilk powder, garlic powder, and onion powder. Then fold in the green onions, the chicken, 1/2 cup of the shredded mozzarella cheese, and 2 tablespoonfuls of the blue cheese. Pour the mixture into that prepared baking dish that you had, or cast iron skillet. Top it with the remaining 1/2 cup of shredded mozzarella. Bake it for 30 minutes until it's bubbly and golden on top. Then remove it from the oven. Top with the remaining blue cheese crumbles, more green onions if desired, and serve it immediately with the vehicle of your choice.
Yeah, you're going to correct me here, Zorba, but yeah. It seems to me that all of these ingredients don't add up to something that tastes that good.
It does taste that good. And believe me, you've got cheese, you got blue cheese, you got mozzarella cheese, you got the buffalo wing sauce, you got the garlic powder. It's a complex recipe. You might like it if somebody made it for you. That's it. And you know, people can actually find this if they go to our website, zorbapastor.org. That's zorbapastor.org, or of course through Facebook.
1-800-462-7413 is our number, 800-462-7413. To the phones now, Zorba, a listener with us in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello, Zorba.
Hi.
Question for you is about my nails. Mm-hmm. I can't for the life of me grow them. They're thin, they're brittle.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried biotin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's supposed to work.
Uh-huh.
Can you give me any suggestions?
Yeah, right. How about your mom? Did your mom have thin nails?
Pardon me?
Did your mother have thin nails?
You know, no, she does pretty well.
She does pretty well. How about your dad? Does your dad have thin nails? Just trying to find out if there's a thin nail history in your family.
Yeah, no, my sister's got great nails. My mom does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wash your dishes. When you wash your dishes, do you wear gloves?
No, I don't.
You should wear gloves 100% of the time. Dishwashing detergent is one of the worst things you can use on your nails. Just like they destroy the grease, they also destroy the keratin in your nails. So number one, you've got to use gloves, not 50%, not 75%, but 100% of the time. And that'll make that, by the way, will make a huge difference. Question number two, do you use nail polish?
I do not.
Nail polish is an excellent way to actually strengthen your nail because you're putting a varnish on top of your nail. So you may decide you actually want to use nail polish. There's nothing wrong with using nail polish. Clear nail polish, if you want to, will actually strengthen your nail. But I think the first thing I would do is I would wear gloves. Huge difference. Gelatin capsules don't work. Biotin doesn't work. It's that you're probably partially destroying the nails by washing your dishes without gloves. And you may have a predisposition to thin nails in the first place. So I would try that.
I will try that. Thank you so much.
And then when you choose the color for the nail polish, you might choose bright red. And then people say, oh, look at those bright red nails. They're so beautiful.
That's right. I'll feel better about them.
Look good, feel good, play good.
Thanks a lot for the call.
I will take the advice.
Thanks.
800-462-7413. Who washes dishes anymore?
Who washes dishes? Oh, you're using just paper plates and styrofoam cups now at home,
no,
right?
No, we have a dishwasher that does that.
Well, people do. They wash their pots. People who cook wash their pots.
Oh, that's
they wash
what it
their
is.
Pans.
People who cook.
That's right.
I get it.
And they often will kind of wash up part of the plate. That's right. You've got it. People who don't eat out of pre-made Chinese containers, those are the ones.
800-462-7413, our number. That's 1-800-462-7413. And now, Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help?
I, at the age of 47, was diagnosed with full-blown osteoporosis after having a prior DEXA scan and telling me that I had not, that I wasn't even close, so it was never even a concern. I went through menopause at the age of 47. So I'm led to believe, after some of the research that I've done, that that was probably a part of why my body basically responded the way that it did, because I know that within that first 5 to 7 years after menopause that we are at a risk of losing a lot of bone.
Do you have a family history of hip fractures or osteoporosis at all?
I have a family history of osteoporosis. My sister was diagnosed actually 4 months prior to me. My mother had it, but my mother never broke a hip.
Good.
She did have some broken ribs, but I've never broken hip. I've fallen. I've taken some pretty nasty falls since I found out about my diagnosis. Thankfully, I've never broken anything. I hope to keep it that way. My diet is pretty clean. I don't eat fast food, a lot of processed foods. I eat as whole and naturally as I possibly can. As I've been doing research, I've seen where people have reversed or come out of osteoporosis. I'm taking Fosamax. It's not really what I was hoping that my, my 50s would be like. I was healthy, never on any kind of medication prior to any of this. So the thought of being on a medication is a little hard for me. And I also know that Fosamax, with the research that I've done, that it can actually, over time, harden the bone or actually make it even more dense.
Well, the question with Fosamax and the other drugs, the iconoclast inhibitors in that particular issue, is there is, first of all, the drugs work really well to prevent hip fractures in patients with osteoporosis. If they take it at least for a 5-year period, then they stop taking it after that. And the drug is good, really is good. There is a side effect, actually, that some of the bone may actually become more brittle. And that occurs in the minority of women and men who take it. Is it a side effect? Absolutely. Is it a common side effect? No. I don't know if it's less than 1% of the time, but it's somewhere in that realm where it's a rare drug. But you bring up an important point. Often when we're in our 50s and our 60s, we go, wait a minute, I've lived a good life and I've done everything right. Why do I have osteoporosis? Well, the answer is you have a family history of osteoporosis. And, you know, just like if you people come in and they say, hey, I've done everything right. How can I have heart disease? I'm doing everything right. Well, it's often genetics, and you produce heart disease. The good news is your mother didn't have any hip fractures, so that's really good news. We pick up osteoporosis with a DEXA, a densitometry examination, but it's really a strong family history of hip fractures that's part of it. So one of the things we do for osteoporosis in a natural way is to make sure we're getting about 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams of calcium in our diet. Dietary calcium is better than a pill, but a pill can give you an extra bump, so it's important to eat calcium-rich foods. Exercise, which is gravity-type exercise, jogging, walking, doing something in terms of getting gravity, really turns out to be really important for keeping your bones strong. And then balance exercise is really to keep you from falling. I mean, those are the important things. I don't care about osteoporosis. I care about fractures. So to keep from getting fractures, it means you've got to stay healthy and you have exercise. You're doing exercise, or and if so, what kind are you doing?
I do exercise. I exercise of some sort every day. I was a aerobics instructor for 25 years.
So you know all that about it. You're the expert, an aerobics instructor. How old is your mom? Is your mom still around?
No, she's not.
And what age did she die at?
She died at 80. Mm-hmm. My father has kind of an osteopenia. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of back issues. Uh-huh. Both of them had, had lost height. Mm-hmm. So I'm really being cognizant because I don't want to lose height.
Right. You will. By the way, you will lose height because those little pads between your bones shrink as you get older. So no matter what you do, you will lose some height. The question is, will you lose less height from a fracture? But at the age of 75, almost nobody is the same height as they were at the age of 17.
Right. But I'm hoping to avoid the hump.
Right.
And that's what both of my parents had.
Right. And taking the Fosamax is really your best, and doing exercise are the best things that you're doing. So I would keep doing what you're doing. Take the Fosamax for 5 years. Make sure you keep up the calcium. Do the work. Stretching exercise is very important, and that's the best chance that you won't develop the Dowager's hump, is what it used to be called.
Okay. Do you believe that anything as far as like our acidity levels in our body have an impact on our bone health?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any evidence, no. I think genes are the most important thing.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing that.
We appreciate the call at 800-462-7413. Now, before the break, Zorba, we love it when our listeners contribute helpful information to the program. The following email came to us from Raquel, who listens to the show on WBFO in Buffalo, New York. Here's what she wrote. Dear Dr. Zorba, I was listening to your program where you gave a recipe for latkes. You said that you did not know why latkes are specially eaten during Hanukkah. You might know that Hanukkah celebrates the resistance of the Israelis of the destruction of the Second Temple.
Right.
The Maccabees resisting in the temple had enough oil to light the menorah for just one night, but a miracle occurred, and the oil lasted for 8 nights, hence the duration of the festivity. Because of the significance of the oil, we're supposed to consume fried foods during Hanukkah. Yes, I know, very healthy.
You mean through all Hanukkah?
But yummy.
So like fried cheese, fried butter, fried fried potato pancakes, fried latkes, all fried foods.
This is your
one excuse during the year where you can eat fried foods all the time. Go ahead.
After all, what are the holidays for if not to indulge ourselves?
That's right. With fried foods, that's right. But why fried latkes? Why not just French fries? That's what I want to know. Why fried potato pancakes?
If you have a latke information to pass along to our show,
very good.
Feel free to post on our Facebook page or by sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls coming up. Another interesting topic to discuss. All right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Thank you. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Our number 800-462-7413. But Zorba, before our next call, some food labels now tell you the calories for eating the entire package.
Yeah. If you ever look at a potato chip, big bag of potato chips, it'll say like 15 chips. How many calories are in 15 chips or 25 chips? And you go, who sits there and counts out the number of chips? It ought to be like a whole bag, a half bag. I mean, that's the way it is. And
okay.
The FDA has decided to step up and say some things. And it says a label on any food that contains between, you know, between 2 and 3 servings. So I don't know about the bags of potato chips that can be eaten at one sitting has to provide information now on basically what it would be like to eat the entire package.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes a lot of sense because you look at a lot of things, it'll say, ooh, 150 calories. And then you look at the small print and it goes per serving and there are 3 servings.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up there 450 calories on that particular package. And I think this is really, really important. And they've said this has to be with food manufacturers who have annual sales greater than 10 million. In other words, so they're looking at the big boys, the big manufacturers that are doing this. But the smaller companies will have another year to follow, but everyone's going to have this. And I think this is going to make a big difference. Now, what the Brits are doing mm-hmm. is even better. What they're suggesting is that not only should you put how many calories there are per serving and how many servings there are or how many there mm-hmm. for the entire package, but how much time does it take to exercise it off? So what they're suggesting in Britain is it'll say, okay, eat this bag of chips, and it will take you 45 minutes on the treadmill to get rid of those calories. That is a big issue. Because I tell people, you know, you get a Big Mac and fries. So Big Mac is about 500 calories, 500, 550. Mm. Fries are also 500 or 550. That's 1,100. So Big Mac and fries is going to take you a long time on that treadmill to burn it off.
Who pays any attention to calories?
Well, I think it's been shown that when you actually have calories up there, people do pay attention. Now, not everybody. Don't get me wrong. We're still an overweight society. But people do pay attention to calories. When I go to Subway, I look at the subs and I sort of decide what I'm going to get. I do pay attention to those calories.
Yeah. Well, I'm a skinny guy, so why would I care about calories?
You don't pay attention to calories because you've never had the problem. But if you look at America today, you look at the tremendous rise in obesity and overweight. You look at pictures back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s. You realize we are eating more food than ever. And a lot of that food is fast food and snack food. So I applaud the FDA on finally taking action on having good calories, and it'll tell you how many calories there are in the entire package. So now you won't have to count out chip number 1, chip number 2, chip number 3.
800-462-7413, our number. That's 800-462-7413. Back to the phones now, Zorba, a listener with us in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hello. How are you fellows today?
Pretty good. How can we help?
Well, the question that I have is the concerns between the interaction of the CBD versus the blood thinners, Plavix.
So are you on Plavix for your heart? Is that why you're on it?
Yes, I have stents.
You've got stents. How long have you had your stents?
I've got several of them. I've had over the last several years, so.
Last several years, sir. So CBD oil, and here's the problem. The problem is we don't have a lot of information on CBD oil because there's not a lot of research that's actually been done on it. In other words, when we take it. So you would like to know, very logical, whether or not this is going to interfere with the sort of blood thinning. It's not exactly what it is, but it's kind of blood thinning activity of Plavix. Very important drug. You want to make sure you keep those stents open. And you want to know whether or not CBD oil. So you got two problems here. Number one, we don't have research on it, so we don't know. We don't know. Number two, when you're getting CBD oil, it's not regulated, so you don't actually even know what's in there. So if they say it has so many milligrams, there's no government agency that actually they have to answer to show how many milligrams of CBD oil are actually in that in the first place. So the problem is you may not be getting CBD oil, and the other problem is we don't know what the interaction is. So for somebody who's had stents, my recommendation is if you don't know, you don't want to take it. Now, have you ever had a heart attack or any
stent? Yes.
And how long ago was that?
It was a little over a year ago.
Little over a year ago. Did you smoke cigarettes or anything like that, or family history?
I did way back in the past, but I have it prevalent in my family.
Okay, so it's really a family history. Are you on a statin, on a drug to lower your cholesterol?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you on aspirin every day?
Yes.
Are you on a beta blocker?
No.
Metoprolol? Because often...
Oh, yeah. I do take metoprolol.
Metoprolol. So you're on the right drugs. Now, we know something that's really, really important about stents and about medical therapy. There's a very important study that was done fairly recently. Half the people got stents, okay? Half the people did not get stents. Now, these are not people who are having an imminent heart attack. These are people who had angina that they didn't have. They weren't having a heart attack right there. So some people got stents and medical therapy. Some people just got medical therapy. They followed them for a number of years, more than 5 years, like 6 or 7 years. And they discovered that medical therapy alone in many people worked as well as medical therapy plus stents. Now, there's an important part, that important thing that's an important part of the study. It means that medical therapy is extremely important. It doesn't mean you didn't need stents, because some people do need the stents, but it means the medical therapy is important. The statin, the beta blocker, the aspirin, the Plavix, other blood pressure pills if you need them are very, very important. You don't want to interfere with that with something where you don't know. It's a pig in a poke. You don't know what you're taking. So I would stay away from CBD oil. You might use it topically if you want to, but I would not consume it because you just don't know what it's going to do to basically the drugs you're taking that are keeping your heart going. Does that make some sense?
Good enough. It does.
Thanks very much. Very good question. Very good question. And one other thing, and the reason is CBD oil is recommended now for pretty much everything because there's a lot of money to be made in CBD oil. I just thought I would put
right.
that in.
Yeah, in Oklahoma, you know, medical marijuana is even legal, so... Yeah. It's on every corner.
It's on every corner. And we don't know what marijuana, because the feds basically have put up enough basic things so that people do not do research on medical marijuana. But the feds have put up obstacles all over the place, so we don't know what that does. Stick with what we know, because we know it works.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're
sure.
Welcome. You
appreciate
care.
The call at 800-462-7413. Okay, Zorba, let's open up the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox and share a listener question. The following email came to us from Angel in El Paso, Texas, who writes, "Dear Dr. Zorba, I've listened to your show a few times and I love it. I have two questions I hope you can help with. I am a type 2 diabetic and love to eat fruit. I was wondering, though, what fruits are okay for me to eat? Also, what type of diet should I be on to help control my diabetes?"
Well, first of all, this is not it's not a simple question, but there are some simple things that you can look at. First of all, if you're going to eat fruits, you want to still limit the number of fruits. You want to sit down with a dietitian if you're a diabetic and say, what can I eat, what can't I eat? So we know that on the whole, you want to avoid fruit juice, because fruit juice does not have – the pulp does not have the fiber that slows down digestion. So if you're going to eat apple juice is loaded with sugar because apples have a lot of sugar. But if you're going to eat an apple is really okay because it actually is a slower glycemic load. So there's something called the glycemic index. Look it up, Google it. The glycemic index will tell you basically how close to table sugar something is. And something that has a high glycemic index, something that basically is going to push that insulin into your body and tell your pancreas, hey, I've got to put up a lot of insulin. Those are the fruits that you want to avoid. So grapes you would want to avoid, apples you would want to have. But this is something you want to sit down and look at. The other issue is there are a number of good books on diabetic diets. The American Diabetes Association has a number of great books on what diabetics should eat and what they should not eat. And frankly, if you have diabetes, you want to be an expert in this because that's going to help you decide how to eat right to stay well.
Have a difficult health question for Zorba? There's a good chance he'll provide a fruitful answer. 800-462-7413. Our next caller, Zorba, is a listener in Fairbanks, Alaska. Hi.
Hi. I have three female friends, one in her mid-60s, one mid-70s, one mid-80s. And All three this year have told me that they have lost their peristaltic action. Mm-hmm. The youngest one told me that it was recommended to her that she stand up eating and that she eat hot soup. The mm-hmm. oldest one had a lot of problems and ended up in the hospital for 2 days because uh-huh. she lost all of her mm-hmm. nutrients in her system. And she received no recommendation from her provider. Mm-hmm. And the youngest person told me that her provider told her the reason that this happens is because you get older. and it happens to people mm-hmm. over like 50 or something. Mm-hmm.
So 50 is old? That's all I want to know.
well, I'm past that also, but, you know, apparently the musculature that squeezes the food down into your stomach ceases to function properly.
Well, I mean, as you get older, just like other muscles in your body, your gut slows down. I mean, older people all the time complain about constipation. I could write books on constipation. I could do one half on constipation and the other half on gas. It's either constipation or gas. Younger people never talk about constipation except, you know, I got constipated because I went on a trip. And as for talking about gas, that's like a tween and teenage talk. And after that, they don't really talk about it. And that's because peristalsis changes. Diabetes, among other things, can change it. There's something called diabetic gastroparesis, great big long-term, which means your gut doesn't function properly. And it's really secondary to diabetes, and you can have stomach problems really from that. And as you get older, your gut can slow down, and so if you eat too quickly when you're older, it can cause problems. Now, I've never heard of I've never given anyone advice that they should eat standing up. Now, you don't want to eat lying in a recumbent position because your food is not going to go down. So it makes sense you should sit up. It also makes sense that you should have liquid with your food because that actually helps. It really helps with friction in the gut. It also helps to eat slower. It makes a difference. And hot water does make a difference. Old Dr. Kellogg, he was old when I first joined him, although right now I'm older than he was when I first joined him, but I was a young whippersnapper. And he would always tell people with constipation and problems with swallowing, which happens when they're older, take some hot water before you eat and have hot water throughout the meal. And that was an old-fashioned remedy that really works really well because hot water actually stimulates the gut, and importantly, it actually stimulates peristalsis in the colon, which helps with constipation and having a bowel movement. So I don't think standing up is going to do much, but hot water is really a good idea, even though standing up is not going to do much. So nutrients in the body getting lost, I'm not sure exactly what that is. I know that if we look at a vitamin B12, because as we get older, we lose something called intrinsic factor, which is in the small intestine, and you may get a B12 deficiency. That's a very specific thing. Some people can handle that if it's minimal with a B12 supplement. Other people actually need to get an injection once a month. And as for the person whose doctor gave them no advice and sent them home, well, I'd probably switch doctors with that person. And be my answer for that.
Neither one of us were impressed, but thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Your time.
You're welcome. How's your gut, by the way?
It's just fine, thank you. I make sure things move right along.
That's right. That's right. You know, happy gut, happy life. That's what we say.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for your call. Thanks
appreciate
for sharing
the call
that.
At 800-462-7413. Now, Zorba, before we head out, time again for Facebook feedback.
Facebook feedback.
Okay, Zorba, on the official Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page, we recently made the sad announcement of the passing of your beloved dog, Ziggy.
Right.
Okay, so of course, our wonderful listeners responded to the news with an outpouring of love and kind words. Here's just a small sampling. First, Kim in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin wrote, "I'm so sorry for your loss. Ziggy was a sweet dog that we met at the Fitchburg Dog Park."
Oh, yes, right. That's right. I did go to that dog parking lot.
And Jill in Wisconsin says, "Zorba, you give us advice and care, and we care for you. Sorry that you are having to suffer the loss of Ziggy. It hurts.
How nice. How nice.
Marlene in Minneapolis, Minnesota said, Ziggy will be forever in your heart with memories and love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tim in Madison shared this, I'm sorry for your loss. Our girls will miss saying hello to you and Ziggy on our walks. And Frederick in Rhinelander, Wisconsin said, it is indeed a sad event, made somewhat better by knowing that Ziggy had a great life with a great family.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and those condolences really do help you. They help you go through the grief, the loss of a pet. You really grieve for the loss of a pet. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
One more, Zorba. Jackie in Wisconsin posted these wise words. Having a dog will bless you with the happiest days of your life and one of the worst days.
Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, you hit it right on the head. That's it.
Exactly. A big thanks to our listeners for all the love, and you can visit
our
Facebook page and see a photo of Ziggy. And as always, if you have any thoughts or questions for the Good Doc, just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
See you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Colburn. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidrum. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.